Off a leg, yellow blood squirting from the ghastly wound. The mutie howled in pain. Mildred launched an arrow, the wooden shaft shattering into splinters on the rough shell. She cursed, and the crab was among them. Jack dodged a claw as Christy fired, the bullet scoring a shallow line along the creature's shell. Ryan thrust a torch into its face, burning off an eye stalk. The mutie squealed, and Doc stabbed with his sword, skewering the thing in the open mouth. Squalling madly, the giant crab scuttled off into the darkness at remarkable speed, leaving a trail of blood behind.
Tough little bastard.
Mildred notched a steel-tipped arrow.
Can't let get away!
The teenager was leaning forward as if already in pursuit.
All that food? No way.
Kneeling, he critically studied the severed leg. The shell was abnormally thick. Arrows would never penetrate. They'd have to use the blasters.
Okay, 1 yard spread, double time. Watch for spore. Stay close and quiet. Our voices will carry for miles down here.
Good, and so will anybody else's.
With Ryan in the lead, the companions took off after the mutie down the long subterranean passageway. Dean called from the open doorway, blaster in hand.
Good luck! Good hunting!
Slowly, the massive portal swung closed, the sweep of light narrowing to a slim vertical line, and then, with a muffled clang, it was gone. The bolts driving home sounded unnaturally loud. Rolling over the barren landscape, the sputtering motorcycle braked to a halt in the front of the low hill. The swell was covered with the ash-colored concrete like everything else, and only its height made it visible above the sterile plain. Driving around the hill, the blue shirt stopped again as he found a small recess, a short alley that led to an imposing door made of black metal.
This is it.
The rider turned off the struggling machine and lowered the kickstand. Climbing off the bike, the sec man stepped out of the safety cage surrounding the vehicle and began to unlock the chains holding his passenger motionless against the gridwork of iron bars. Softly, the big engine began to tick as it started to cool. Pulling the length of chain free from the man and bars, the blue shirt stepped away from the bike and drew a blaster.
Okay, get busy.
Yes, master.
The old slave rubbed his chafed wrists and awkwardly climbed from inside the safety cage, heavy chains dangling between his scrawny ankles. Shuffling to the strange armored door, the white hair couldn't help but gasp. The material was a black metal unlike anything he had ever seen. It was marred by fire, but still solid and strong. What blacksmith could have possibly made this colossal door?
What are you waiting for?
Yes, master.
The man rummaged around in his loincloth for the sheaf of papers the Baron himself had pressed into his hands, along with a promise of freedom if he was successful. That he didn't believe, but this was better duty than mucking out the sewers or cutting stone in the quarry. Squinting at the print, he tapped in the first line of letters and numbers. Nothing happened. The blue shirt lit a cig and drew the smoke deep into his lungs.
Keep going! You only got this job because you can read. Don't stop till I tell you to or you'll taste the lash. Get me?
He patted the knotted leather coil of the bullwhip hanging at his side.
Of course, sir.
The oldster continued to tap figures and letters into the little pad. Hopefully, he would soon find the key to the black door, the sec man would chill him then, and his pain would end. Then the realization hit him. Success meant death. Redoubling his efforts, the old man started to type in the combinations faster and faster, praying and hoping the door would open soon. The tunnel stretched for quite a way.
Few droppings. No bats.
Keeping his torch high to avoid splatter from the grease, Ryan agreed. He had been in caves where the guano had been feet deep. Once he saw a man drown in the stuff before they could throw a rope and drag the poor bastard to safety. But this tunnel was clean of bat shit, which meant there was no easy access to the outside. Then again, they were 15 stories underground. Did bats fly that far to nest? He didn't know. At an intersection, the companions paused to check the side tunnels. Both ended after only a few hundred yards. Whatever the military had been building down here was going to be extensive.
Maybe they were making a permanent vault for the Arch.
Makes sense. If you can say anything the government did in those days made sense.
JB adjusted his glasses.
Don't like this. No equipment anywhere.
Means that folks have been down here. Crab's got no use for hammers and dynamite.
After a while, the torches began to dim, so the companions took a rest and dropped the burning rags on the torches to the ground, then wrapped each handle with fresh strips and oil and lit them anew. When the job had been completed, they moved onward, leaving the smoldering rags behind to help mark the way home. The tunnel before them seemed to stretch forever. An hour passed slowly. Then Ryan gave a soft whistle, and the companions froze, pulling their weapons ready. There was a shape in the shadows ahead of them, twice as large as the crab. He waited a few moments, listening for any noises, but only the crackling torches could be heard. Holding out his palm to the others, he closed it into a fist, then raised one finger. They nodded in understanding. Alone, Ryan proceeded carefully along the wall of the tunnel and found an ordinary concrete barricade blocking the end of the passageway. The yellow and black striped slab barred further progress. Holding the torch at an angle, Ryan extended it over the waist-high barrier. In the reddish light, he saw a ledge beyond, a slope of raw, unfinished rock leading into pitch darkness. It was an easy walk, no problem there. However, nothing could be seen above or below. The tunnel might well have stopped at the end of the world. A movement from behind made him spin, and Christy came from the shadows.
Kill that torch. They'll see you.
Dropping the torch behind the concrete barrier, Ryan stomped out the flames. Darkness filled the tunnel.
Can you hear them? Talking, laughing, a couple having sex, a child crying? It's a whole ville down there.
Ryan strained to see.
Blues?
As his eyes slowly got accustomed to the lack of light, he began to make out shapes and forms below. A soft, ethereal glow permeated the gloom. On the bottom of the cavern, columns of rock rose in an irregular pattern, like a wild forest of stone trees. Amid the vertical outcroppings were rows of huts and corrals full of something that moved. A low wall surrounded the underground ville. Having seen enough, Ryan took her arm, and they returned to the others.
Kill that torch! We found a ville!
Promptly, Doc dropped the torch and stamped out the flames.
Can't tell whether it's gnomes or muties down there, but they have houses, a wall, and some kind of animal penned for food.
How see without torch? Campfires?
There's a soft glow coming from the walls of the cavern. It's not much, just barely enough to see.
Sounds worth a wreck. We can jack some of their cattle at the very least.
As the last few embers of the torch died, the darkness in the tunnel approached Stygian levels.
Christy, you better stay here with the torches in case we need a guide home. And prepare some of the wooden arrows with oil and rags to use as an emergency flare.
Consider it done.
Christy holstered her revolver. She had split her .38 caliber ammo with Mildred, so each woman had 3 rounds. But that was enough for this job. Besides, she was the logical choice. The redhead could hear better than any of the others, and often could sense things happening, or about to happen. There was no explanation for the ability, it was just something she could do, same as her mother. Jack passed her the crossbow and quiver.
Take. Got knives. Just a silent.
The redhead slung the quiver and held the crossbow in both hands, testing its balance.
Thanks.
Then JB handed her a glass bottle.
Just in case.
The armorer hated thinning his supply, but only suicides went into a hot spot without backup or an escape route. Ryan worked the slide on his silenced 9mm 6-hour pistol.
Arrows and knives only. We're doing a quiet wreck. Only here to steal weapons and food. No chilling unless necessary. Anybody gets separated from the rest of us or run into trouble, come straight back here. I'll take point with JB. Mildred, cover the rear with a crossbow.
Taking positions, the companions exited the tunnel and waited until they could dimly see the subterranean ville below. JB did a sweep with his binocs.
Looks like a natural cavern. Hundreds of side tunnels. Damn place is a warren of holes. Might be easy to get lost. Floor seems to be covered with lots of stalactites. Stalagmites. Whichever. I never could remember which is which.
Stalagmites might fall down, but cannot, because they grow up from the ground.
That's good.
Thank you.
Dark Knight, I see them. They sort of look like people. 2 arms, 2 legs, 1 head. About all I can tell at this distance. Doesn't seem to be any guards on patrol or stationed lookouts.
Even better. Maybe they don't have any enemies, aside from the crabs. Any weps?
Nothing that requires two hands to hold. Leaves plenty.